supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friend, ladies and gentlemen, salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. And today we're going to speak about extravagance in the view of Islam.
I pray to God, my heart, soul and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Friday, is the 17th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Furqan, verse 67. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما
And they are those who, when they spend, do so not excessively or sparingly, but are ever between that justly moderate.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is interesting that this verse speaks in a way that it takes the issues of spending something which is certain and exists, so that it does not need mentioning, for it is one of the given duties of any man. Thus, it talks about the way and manner of spending. It indicates that they have a just spending and are neither prodigal nor grudging. They neither spend so much that their wife and offspring gets hungry, nor they are so economical that other persons do not get help from them, and there is ever a firm station between the two.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't
Extravagance in the view of Islam. The Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his family, was once walking along and saw his companion doing wudu, or ablution. The man was using a lot of water. "What are you wasting, O Sa'd?" he asked. The man was surprised. "Is there waste in water of wudu too?" he asked. "Yes," said the Prophet, "even if you are beside a running stream." It is sometimes difficult to discern if we are being extravagant or not. If we spend within our means, when is it that we are being extravagant? The following hadith sheds some light on it. A man asked Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, "Can a believer have 10 items of clothing?" "Yes," replied the Imam. "And 20? "Yes," said the Imam. "That is not from extravagance. Extravagance is when you make your formal clothes your war clothes."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about extravagance. Another one is moral corruption. Some people take pride in committing sins, and they find themselves powerful enough. They imagine they are powerful enough not to consider the religious instructions as devised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the infallible imams. So in order to compensate the personality shortage, they come to do some jobs and acts not endorsable and strictly rejected by Islamic standards. Another parameter in this connection is emulation and taking other people as our role models. If we take the infallibles and high-ranking religious personalities as our role model, we find that we can reach the highest steps of perfection. If someone, for example, takes a good moral role model like an infallible imam, or a very successful, let's say, academic figure as his or her role model, he or she will follow that way. Otherwise, if someone takes, for example, a hooligan, or for example, a person who never considers any moral standard as his or her role model, I mean, this person, I mean, will lead a very unfortunate way and unfortunate life, because his or her role model hasn't been anything, I mean, considerable. Another cause is exuberance, okay? Unfortunately, in many people and in many families, we find that some people may take pride in being in leading a very extravagant type of life. We find that, I mean, for example, millions of apples, millions of loaves of bread and so on may be spoiled and may be put away as into the garbage. And in this way, we find that, okay, it harms our economic. Perhaps another reason or another cause is colonialism. Actually, colonial powers have tried to keep other nations, especially those nations that have good natural resources, away from the highways of perfection and highways of development. So we are expected to be able to discern the bad way or the unfavorable practices that they have devised for other people to come. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special under the title of Israf. Now the social harms of Israf. Among the social harms of Israf is the creation of class strife and struggle. One of the causes behind the creation of class strife is that of Israf. This is because some individuals with their high level of wealth believe that they can spend this wealth in any manner in which they please, even if it goes against the rules of Islam and their society. Over time, this attitude helps to first create classes and then to create strife and rancor between them. The decline of government is another harm, social harm of Israf. Another one of the social consequences of Israf is the decline of government. Ibn Khaldun, one of the Muslim sociologists, has mentioned that whenever a government would become afflicted with Israf and extravagance, it would soon fall into decline. Let's look at the tips to avoid extravagance. Overpaying for convenience. Think about everything you buy. Where are they the cheapest? In bulk? Where are they the most expensive? Vending machines, convenience stores. Convenience is a wonderful thing when you have a crying kid or stressed out after a long day. Convenience is a wonderful thing. It becomes a problem when convenience becomes common. You can buy a big bag of chips for $3, or you can buy small bags for $1 from the vending machine. One time? No, big deal, we're not, saddest year. But all the time? No. Plan ahead and save that money for something that is important to you.
I know once when I talked about it, somebody came to me that, you know, somebody else was having, he was saying, well, you know, what's the harm? Let the extra water go, it goes back into the earth. But what about the energy and the time and the resources used in taking out the water? Why did you do that? It's going waste, isn't it? Because you're putting it back into the earth. So there is israf there in the resources, time, and energy spent in that. Especially those who have this habit of doing their best shayri when they are in shower. Don't exercise your shayri and poetry in shower. You know, just use minimum. We have, unfortunately, you know, in the olden days when we have not new technology, we would just take water in the bowl or the utensil and then do wuzu. It was easy. Now with running water, the taps, mashallah, I'm reciting all the du'as and, you know, doing this, and the water is just going down the drain. Then I pick again, and, you know, and this is what I would say, if you really want to be with new technology, then use those taps which have sensor motion. Where you get the water, once your hand is removed from it, you know, it stops. I think even our marakis, all our masajid and Imam Bargah should have that. When we talk about electricity, if you are not using a room, you know, just letting it be on, it's a wastage of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is where we talk about the issue of tabzir.
That was all from today's special. And for this episode, we spoke about extravagance. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi aman Allah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a piece of advice from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, on the necessity of avoiding a social ill that has unfortunately pervaded the contemporary world. The most hateful thing to Allah amongst the lawful acts is divorce.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble hadith and tradition, which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam, regarding the consequences of obstinately holding one's own opinion. Meaning not, listening to the opinions of others, even though those opinions might be correct, and a person is aware of their correctness, still this person holds on to his own opinion. What are the effects of this? What are the results of this? The Imam alludes to that in this hadith. The Imam says, he who obstinately holds his own opinion is ruined. Halak. Halaka. He's ruined and he will be destroyed. And he who, conversely, the Imam says, and he who consults other people shares in their collective understanding. So this is one of the characteristics of the believer, that he always consults other people before coming to a conclusion, before coming to a decision regarding something. This is not only for practical, not only a good characteristic in practical matters, but also a good characteristic for a student, for somebody who does research into a certain matter, an academic. It's good to consult other people, look at their opinions, and then formulate a decision. In a very similar tradition, echoing the same theme, again, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, only an ignorant person is proud of his own opinion. Ma u'jiba bira'yihi illa jahilun. A person who is jahil, who is ignorant, he is the person who is proud of his own opinion. If a person is really knowledgeable, he will regard his own opinion as being minuscule, as being insignificant, and always be in search of increasing his own knowledge. And also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, the one who adamantly holds his own opinion has based it on a shaky and erroneous argument. The argument being that, you know, his opinion is correct and, you know, he cannot be in error and in wrong. Right? It's also interesting to know that in the Holy Quran, God Almighty, in one of the verses of the Holy Quran, commands the Holy Prophet to take counsel and do mashwarat with his companions and with the people before coming to a decision regarding an affair. And that's the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wisest and the noblest human being. At the same time, God Almighty orders him to take opinions of others before coming to a decision. Right, so for all the more reason, we as imperfect and as flawed human beings and creatures, we should do the same. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the consequences of obstinately holding one's own opinion in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, respected brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us. Here we are again with four of our students from Sevier International School. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. As we promised, now we will recite Suratul Fajr, inshallah, and apply the rules, the tajweed topics that we have studied so far. Chapter 30 of the Quran Kareem. And page 593, Suratul Fajr. You repeat after me, okay? I will recite, inshallah, you will repeat after me.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
والفجر.
والفجر.
Good. Look, Ra is pronounced like heavily. Why? Because before Ra we have Jim. That's correct. It has sukun. But before Jim we have Fatha. So again, when A sound continues, A sound, and it ends with Ra, okay? So that A sound Again, Ra must be pronounced like Hebel. Okay? If before Ra, you don't have any A sound, you have E sound. So the Ra will be pronounced like happily or A sound, not Ra sound. A sound, okay?
Yes.
Or for example, Bir, Rr, Bir.
And if it is a Dhamma?
Dhamma, again, the same as Fatha it applies. Okay?
Okay, okay.
Kufur. Kufur, for example. So, Wal Fanjur.
والفجر
وليال عشر
وليال عشر
والشفع والوتر
والشفع والوتر.
I hear someone like bouncing the sound of Ra. Ra is not having a bouncing sound. والليل إذا يسر
والليل إذا يسر
هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر
هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر.
You didn't pay attention. I made a mistake and you followed me with the same mistake.
حجر.
Why do you follow someone who makes mistake? Is it okay if you follow someone who is making mistakes?
Yes.
It's okay.
So we didn't know you made a mistake.
So
we were
look,
just making out.
Yeah, that's why we Shia Muslims, we believe that imams must be infallible. Okay? Why? If they are not infallible, they will take us to the wrong path. And they will say, oh, sorry, it is the wrong path. I just didn't know. Accidentally we got there, okay? So we say, no, you are the imam, you must be infallible. No mistakes. No, not acceptable.
And they are.
We put our lives in your hand. Okay? It's very important. So do not follow someone who is making a mistake. Okay? Now let's fix the mistake. Now tell me, where was the mistake?
Hijr.
All of it.
No. Hijr. That was nice. Hijr. Look. Hijr. I said hijr.
So we said hijr.
Yeah, I pronounce Ra heavily. Okay, while it, we should not do it, okay? Because, why? Okay. We have kasra sound before.
Kasra.
So, هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر
هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر.
That's nice. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ
أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ
إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ
إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ
الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ
التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد.
Someone is always like getting the sound of dhamma wrong. He says يخلق. He wants to say يخلق actually. He thinks that it is يخلق. He thinks that he's saying يخلق, but he says يخلق. Sound. Sound. Not sound. Okay, no. A longer one, a little. He knows who he is. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد
التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد
أحسن. وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد
وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد
وفرعون ذي الأوتاد
وفرعون ذي الأوتاد
الذين طغوا في البلاد
الذين طغوا في البلاد
فأكثروا فيها الفساد
فأكثروا فيها الفساد
فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب
فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب
فصب right فصب
فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب
فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب
إن ربك لبالمرصاد
إن ربك لبالمرصاد
إن right غنة sound. So pay attention to that غنة sound of ميم مشدد and نون مشدد as well. فأما right
Yes.
فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه
فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق
Let's recite the Quran.
Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Now, okay, this ayah is a longer one. We want to recite the whole ayah in one breath. So take a deep breath after me and read it, okay?
فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنْ
فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنْ
Ahsan, ahsan. Actually, the word is akramani. Ni means Allah Almighty is akramani, getting me respectful now. Akramani. But it has been short. Akraman.
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا
Two mistakes. One, إِذَا, someone said, and رِزْقَهُ, someone said. إِذَا رِزْقَهُ, okay? Repeat it this time. One, two, three, repeat it.
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَهُ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانَنَ
Mistakes were fixed, but one mistake was added. مَبْتَلَهُ
مَبْتَلَهُ
أَلِفْ مَدِّي
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Next ayah.
كَلَّا كَلَّا
There is like the stopping sign, okay? It says that either you can stop or you can... Connect. Move. There is no problem. But if you connect, it's better. So let's connect. Let's make it better, okay?
كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ
كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ
وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ
ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين
أحسن
وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما
وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما
أكلا no لام will not have a غنّة sound even if it has تشديد so the rule is exceptional And it is only with Mim and
Noon.
وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا
Look, أَكْلًا لَمَّا Faster you finish the lam and you go to the Mim and do the nasal sound there.
وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا
وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا
وتحبون المال حبا جما
وتحبون المال حبا جما
كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا
كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا
وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا
وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا
وجيء يومئذ بجهنم
وجيء يومئذ بجهنم
يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى
يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى
أحسن
يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي
يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي
فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد
فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد
ما شاء الله
ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد
ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد
أحسن وثاقه
ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد
ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد
يوثق heavy sound وثا light sound قه heavy sound so one light sound between two heavy sounds it makes it difficult That's why. So look.
وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ
Okay. Heavy, light, heavy.
وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٌ
وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٌ
MashaAllah to all of you. May Allah Almighty grant us all with healthy life. Being good Muslims, inshallah, may Allah Almighty hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Let's recite a salawat, inshallah, and we will be with you in the next coming sessions. Don't forget.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
faraj. By the way, we have to give a big thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much. Allah Almighty bless you all, inshallah. اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد عجل
فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality, and I am your humble host, Zainab. We are again at your service with yet brand new episode of Back to Reality. Yes, today we are going to talk about what aging teaches us. And on that note, we have in studio with us two special guests. I have with me Fatima from California and Sadiqa from the UK. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is Fatima from California, USA.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me over. And this is Sadiqa from UK.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. A very warm welcome. They say that with age comes wisdom. Fatima, let's start from you. What do you think? How true is that?
Yeah, I think the older we get, the more life experiences we have.
All right.
Helps us get more wisdom on different topics.
What have you learned from aging?
Less testing each one of us in different ways. So the best way to deal with the life problems and getting more wisdom is to trust in Allah more and just know that we're not alone. We always have Allah and Imam Zaman al-Islam with us.
All right.
And not to have too much high expectations from people. I think when you're younger, you have, especially me, I had such a positive and like, okay, everybody's so nice and good when they're not. So then you have to just be aware, like not everyone is trying to have the best intentions for you and just not to have like a high expectation of anyone. Kind of be independent, like be more independent, I think.
All right. So you're trying to say as we age, we learn who to rely upon. You said that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, obviously. Yeah. And who to rely among imams, imam of your time. And you get to know who is a true person, who is a fake person. And you get to know a lot of things. You stop expecting from people. Siddiqa, what's your take on that?
So I do agree with Sister Fatima on this, that yes, growing up, aging does teach us a lot of experience, but it depends on how we use what we the experience that we have gained.
Yeah.
So someone might have one experience, but if they're not able to act on it and not able to learn from it, then that experience is basically futile. It doesn't serve them any purpose.
True.
And from an Islamic perspective, when we are looking at other people in a society, because obviously we do live in a society.
Mm-hmm.
We are taught that one of the greatest signs of a believer is to be humble.
Yeah.
And one of those ways of remembering to be humble is that when you see an older person, you know that they have been given a greater chance. They have spent more of their life in worshipping Allah. They've spent more of their life in learning and experiencing different things. So obviously the worship of Allah. So when we see an older person, that means they have been given a greater chance to worship Allah. But it comes down to the same thing. Were they able to practice it?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it just age is just a number for them and not a chance to progress? Because the end goal of our life is perfection. We are supposed to gain perfection. We're supposed to attain perfection.
Yeah.
But if age is just a number where a person goes through this whole life without really understanding their purpose in life, now again, it's just been days and nights have just passed for them.
You know, we see people, the more they age, they become more reliable on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like getting older, they start doing more ibadah. And in one of the narrations, we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the ibadah of young person, the ibadah of then a 2 unit of prayers of a young person is much better than 1,000 unit prayers of an old person. Why do you think so?
And so basically my opinion or what I understand from it is that a younger person, a youth, has all these different things to distract them.
Yeah.
But they choose to go towards Allah.
Yes.
An older person has gone through these distractions. They've passed through it. Now they're sitting on their bed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know they're nearing their grave. So it's time to get into ibadah. But I do not believe that all old people are people who worship Allah. They're people who have changed themselves as they grew older and they started to understand the reality of life.
All right.
So obviously their ibadah now gains value. Mm-hmm. Because they have understood the purpose of their life, even if it's late in life. We're never late.
The thing is that you learn things, that's must, you know?
Yes, to learn something, yeah. Even if it's later in life.
Even if it's later in life. That was such a good point. So even if it's too late, but the fact that you learn something and act upon
it's
it.
It's never too late in front of Allah.
Yeah, really nice. So Fatima, let's come to you. You said that we come to know about the people. We get to know about who really is a real person, who is a fake person. There's this quote which says that, as you grow older, your eyesight becomes weaker.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to see through people becomes very better.
Yeah, I think because of the life experience, and I think also depend on the childhood upbringing and different life experiences. But I think also I was going to add to what she was saying. I think also when there's like a big disasters, people start remembering a lot more and trying to understand why they're here. Like when the virus issue happened, like there were so many things online. People were like, oh God, oh Lord, when they didn't have any belief, they weren't practicing any religion.
Yes.
And they showed all the churches in Europe and US. Usually some people
even
go,
the former
but not
US
much.
President said
yeah,
that.
Not much.
The
and they were putting all the candles there and begging from Prophet Isa alayhi salam and Allah.
People coming towards and saying that open up the mosques, open up the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is COVID, but we need to open up church and mosque right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and then now it's kind of calmed down. It's not as much a big issue. Everyone's back to the same way they were before, yeah.
Back to reality.
So I just think the older we get, we just kind of go through different life experiences. And then I think also I'm noticing too about a lot of cultural differences, like over here and in the East, people have a lot more stronger family ties, like their emotional connection and attachments to their family is like blood family is much stronger than we have in the West.
All right.
So it's kind of like they always have, even no matter what disasters or hardships they go through, they always have their family, like their kind of like also Italian culture and these other Hispanic cultures, they have their family always has their back. They always have their support.
Okay.
Whereas other people don't, when you don't have that, you're kind of on your own. I think you kind of start thinking more about like, I rely on Allah more and you're
all
turning
right.
to Allah more, yeah.
Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. We'll be back in a short while.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
All right, Sadiqa, coming back to you. Do you think age has helped you to spot fakes?
We do learn how to differentiate between the good and the bad. You do learn that not everyone has decent intentions behind them. But then we are human beings and everyone is able to mask themselves very well.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm growing older and being able to differentiate between good and bad, the other person's obviously also becoming better at the task of masking their true self.
The task of masking, exactly.
Yeah, so it's a two-way thing.
Mm-hmm.
So no, but at the end of the day, like as Sister Fatima constantly mentioned, is that we need to learn to rely on Allah and just in ask Allah to help us out when people are out with evil intentions for us. And
yeah.
We have these in the du'as as well when we recite them. Give bad to the one who wishes bad for me.
Yeah.
I myself have been in very bad situations. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I have been saved. And I think this is, again, because it comes from when you rely on Allah,
mm-hmm.
you will be taught through these experiences. But still, there's always going to be that back support from God. And we just need to learn to rely while also keeping our eyes open. And, you know, like Allah says, he does not change the condition of the people unless they change themselves.
Unless they change themselves. Unless they want that.
Yeah. So with reliance, we also have to use our intellect, which is one of the most important gifts Allah has given us.
Yes, yes. So I have heard this quote once that to accomplish good, we must dream as well as act. So acting is an important task to do. Fatima, coming back to you, Sadiqa said that as we grow, the attempt to mask also, you know, the people who are really, really not good, they have this ability to mask themselves more. But sometimes even we do mask ourselves in order to think that we owe explanation to someone so that someone understands us. But do you think with the age, as we age, do you think we realize that I don't owe any more explanations to anyone? Like, whosoever wants me to accept this way, I am this way.
Yeah, I think also with the age, you kind of get more set in your ways. Like they say, after the age 40 on the Islamic calendar, your soul is complete. So you're not going to change that much unless you're like really, really work hard on yourself. You can, but you're kind of, your personality is pretty much 100% formed by then. So I think with the age above 40, you start really getting more kind of used to things the certain way, and you're not going to be as much, I think you don't become as bothered. Like, I feel like when I was younger in my 20s, I was like more quickly upset and like emotional, and I'll just call my best friend Atefa and be like, oh my God, can you believe it, what this sister said? And I was always so easily upset. And then I think now, since I'm a little bit like after 40, a little older, I just feel like, okay, you know, that alhamdulillah for everything. At least I have a place to live. At least I have, you know, I have a good physical health, and, you know, and I just feel like after all these disasters too, especially the virus issue, I felt like so much more thankful. It kind of made us more thankful for health and for everything we have from Allah, you know? But yeah, but I just feel like with the age, I'm not as sensitive and like easily upset. Like, I'm just like, okay, that's the way it is. That's how it's going to be.
You know, there's one fact that whenever you ask a woman how old you are, she starts reacting, or she starts minusing some, at least, if nothing, at least 1 or 2 years. Women never say their perfect age. Why do you think women are so sensitive about their age?
I think it's the societies. Like, I think especially in the West, even more than the East, but I think it's worldwide.
Yeah.
This whole kind of thing of like the woman's beauty is a certain timing. And then once she passes that, the aging, it's like you're considered, you're not. I mean, it's not Islamically, but like just in the societies in general, it's like you're considered, your beauty is going to start going down the more you age, you know. Whereas with the men, it's very sexist, but that's the worldwide culture. With the men, the more they age, it's kind of like they're considered to become more handsome. But for the women, it's like, okay, you're becoming like an old lady, you know. So
I don't see men becoming handsome. Do you?
But the culture, maybe they're not exactly, but the culture's kind of, at least in the West, they kind of imply that. So even though it's not 100% accurate,
All right. So women are actually concerned about their beauty. Well, you know, Shakespeare says in one of his sonnets that love is not love which alters when it alteration finds. So I think a woman should never be cared about, like she should never care if her rosy cheeks are no more rosy cheeks, if her because he says in the further verses that these rosy lips and rosy cheeks are not time's fool. So if someone really loves you, women should really not be concerned about aging. We are moving actually towards Allah, and we should always have this in mind. What is it that we are taking? I, as a woman, if I go back, since what I have learned from aging, I will tell myself, stop being center of attraction for anyone, because these people are the people which Quran says in Surah Al-Qariyah that they will be the ones who will be dispersed in the air like moths on that day. So I don't need to be center of attraction for anyone. I should have this in this point in my mind that I am doing this journey step by step and heading towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Beautiful point.
Thank you so much, sister, for being with us. Thank you so much, Fatima. Thank you so much to our listeners. You are listening to IRIP English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.